everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Margot Manning. How are you today, Margot?
I'm very well, thank you, Miro. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We're here on a rather cloudy and quite dull Thursday morning here in London, but we're all bright and shiny and ready to go for today. And of course, thank you for our listeners for joining us on today's podcast. And of course, for those listening, Margot is a management and leadership coach. She is also an author and is here today to talk to us about her new book and the themes and ideas behind it. So before we get into the meat of today's discussion, Margot, can you perhaps tell us a bit about the book and perhaps what inspired you to become an author?
Of course. So I will go back to front. I'll tell you what inspired me to write a book. I've always liked and worked towards things that challenge me. I've never been a person who takes the easy route. Or if I do take the easy route, it's not memorable. So 4 or 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to write a book. My area of expertise is in leadership and management. And I think probably what's even more important, my area of passion is developing managers. So for me, it was the obvious choice that I was going to write. I don't have a novel in me. I don't have any, you know, I'm no J.K. Rowling by any stretch of the imagination. So I decided that I would write a book, and it was challenging. It was a journey that sometimes felt fun, sometimes felt easy, and then other times was really difficult. Difficult from a sense of, as someone who works full-time, who has a life, you know, wife, mum, and all of those great things, finding the time to dedicate to writing can be quite difficult. And you'll have times, or I found that I had times, there would be weeks, possibly a month, where I could write when I'd scheduled it in and all the great stuff. And then there would be times when I would have something scheduled in the calendar and I wouldn't be able to meet it. What kept me going through that, what the inspiration to go through that is, I'm very much driven by outcomes. And I don't like to think that I've wasted my time. I don't, you know, I don't want to regret having got up early some mornings at 4 o'clock so I could write some pieces and wasted that. So that was my inspiration, was the challenge, was the outcome. And I think potentially my primary goal was to prove that I could do this.
Right, right.
That was definitely the primary goal. So I started writing the book and it was all about managers. And I was thinking about the managers that I meet regularly and on a daily basis, and a lot of who I meet that doesn't have a great amount of support are young managers. And I'm talking young as in terms of experience as opposed to age. So new managers, they often will be promoted into a role, having gone from a techie or a doers or part of the team into a management role, and expected to deliver at the pace and the outcomes that they were before. And a lot of them can't do it. They can't step up to the plate like that. They've gone from potentially a technical role that they're doing fabulously well into a role that's new and shiny. And equally, part of that is that they will often be managing the people that they were originally working alongside. So the book is all about helping new managers understand the key areas that they need to focus on. And we look at potentially what are some of the barriers they're going to come up against. And those might be set up by themselves, those barriers, or it could be they've been set up by someone else. It could be their team, it could be their manager, it could be the client, whoever. You know, and there's some key areas that new managers, any manager, I'm saying new, but this is actually any manager, has to focus on: communication, time management, their personal brand and reputation. And the book covers that and other areas. And it has some great stories in there, both from personal experience and from observations. And the stories tend to err on the side of what's gone wrong.
Right, right. And of course, the book, whose name is The Step-Up Mindset for New Managers, is tackling all of these very important issues. And I think that when it comes to new managers, these are often things which are overlooked and things are expected to fall into place as new managers get into their roles. And of course, like with anything else, it's a challenge and it can be a very difficult transitioning time for them. But I would like to focus a bit about the book and the ideas behind it. Now, mindset seems to be something which often will translate with us from one job to another. So in your opinion, what do you think is the most common mindset for new managers? And how do they get in such mindset? What are the issues there?
Well, I would hope, and I have observed, to be fair, that the most common mindset is a mindset of wanting success, of wanting to do the right thing, of wanting to ensure that the individuals who have invested in them, who have promoted them, get the return on investment. So the mindset is one of elation, one of high-spirited, is one of goal-driven. Whether or not the young or the new manager actually goes in consciously with that mindset is another matter, but that's often the case that you'll see. And that transpires into, and again from an observation here, it transpires that a lot of new managers will focus on one particular area. So there's three key areas that any manager should consider. And the first is the team. And that's not just the individuals that we're managing. It's also our manager. It's also the supply teams that we work alongside. It is generally internal, but occasions it can be external, with the team we have, and the team is someone or something that we have got direct control over. The next area that we need to consider is the task, and the task includes the client. It's the outcome, it's the consideration of deadlines, quality, quantity, client's expectations, client relationship management, all those great things. And the third is ourself.
Yeah.
Self-awareness, being aware of our strengths, being aware of our weaknesses, knowing which of our strengths play well for us, know which of our strengths will enhance our role, will enhance our reputation. And equally is the same of weakness, understanding which weaknesses impact us within our role, and understand the weaknesses that don't.
Yeah, absolutely agreed on there. And actually going back to what you said, I think that your second point, that transitioning period where new managers are faced with issues such as client management, such as, you know, relationships between the team externally and of course internally as well, it's a whole new set of skills. It's a whole new set of expectations. And it can definitely be quite daunting to someone who's, you know, perhaps, like you say, been in a more technical role, has been in a situation where they've had a very focused task, very straightforward way of thinking. And it can be quite intimidating.
Oh, agreed, completely. And with new managers, you know, when they come from that background where they've been technical or where they've been doing, so they've been delivering more so than supervising or managing, it is a very difficult transition because part of you wants to keep that security blanket, knowing that you're doing a job really well.
You just want to be at your desk and you just want to get on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you have to bear in mind that one of the reasons that you would have been promoted was for that reason, that you did your previous job really well.
Right.
And so the security blanket of continuing to do your previous role is a real draw to you. And a lot of new managers are reluctant to give up their previous role, which does mean one of two things. The first one is that they're spending all the hours in the office doing their previous role and trying, and I use the word trying, to do their new role, or they're just doing their previous role and a tiny bit, if that, of the new role. So they're not having that step up. And that's what the step up mindset's all about. It's about taking you from one place, not just physically, but mentally, bringing the attitude along, bringing the behaviour along, nurturing that within yourself. So nurturing your attitude, ensuring that it's right, because if your attitude's right, you're more than likely going to be delivering on the behaviour side. Good attitude is a general rule. Rules are there to be broken, but good attitude, good behaviour.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, as we've just talked about this, I would like to perhaps put it into a context with my next question. And can you perhaps tell us, what do you think, in your opinion, are the most common pitfalls that new managers will fall into? And more importantly, how can they avoid them? We talked about our attitude and that's very important, but are there any other ways that we can avoid these pitfalls?
Absolutely. So going back to the earlier question, and we spoke about the three key areas, which is team, task and self.
Yeah.
One of the pitfalls that new managers tend to do is they tend to align with one of those areas. So if they align with tasks, their focus, their attitude, their behaviour is driven by the outcome. And that outcome will happen regardless. It will happen regardless of how the team's feeling. It will happen regardless of their motivation. It will happen regardless of the productivity. And the manager, the new manager, will come across as a tyrant. They will get that job done regardless of how anyone's feeling. And often it's detrimental to the client.
Yeah.
So they will be driving this and not understanding how to bring the team along. The other one is when their focus is just on their team. They will be seen as a good manager from the team, initially, potentially from their own manager. There'll be no delivery. They'll be so focused on their team's well-being, their team's motivation, that productivity will drop.
Yeah.
That's the kind of manager who you look at and you'll hear things like, I go down with the team and I will take it for the team and all of those great things. And the third area is self. When you have a manager who's new to the role and focus is only on their reputation and brand, they're arrogant. It doesn't come across as someone who's got the big picture or a balanced approach. So what can a new manager do? They can consider all three areas. And let's remember, they're new, so that it's a learning curve for them. And with any great learning comes good mistakes. And part of that self-awareness, part of that self, is considering not how you did something wrong, not how you're going to beat yourself up, but actually what was the learning from it? What can you put in place with your team, with your manager, potentially with your client, to ensure that it doesn't happen again? So my piece of advice to any new manager is think big picture. Don't get hold into one key area. There will be times when you will absolutely need to focus on the team. There will be times when you will absolutely need to focus on the task. And there will be times when you will absolutely need to focus on yourself. Find the balance. Find an area, find a place that will work for all three. And I think I'm probably being ideal world here. And you know, being more realistic, it's probably going to be something that will drive you is the task and the client. You want to find a place, you want to have that attitude that it's a win-win for you, for the client, but also a win-win for your team. You want to bring them along as opposed to having to pull them or shove them. So big picture thinking.
Yes, absolutely. And going back to something you mentioned about reputation, Now, reputation is something that, as you say, can very much be inflated by perhaps egos, or perhaps focusing, as you see, on the attitude of, you know, taking one for the team, or, you know, I go down with my team, or sort of focusing on more of the ego aspect of a new manager. And that can definitely happen. So how can new managers own their reputation, but at the same time, how can they deliver confidently and knowledgeably? How can they actually nurture their ego?
Well, when I'm delivering to our guests on a management development program, there's one thing that I will often say to them is, or there's questions that I will ask. You have a good manager and you have a good team. What is that manager's reputation? Good manager. You have a good manager and an underperforming team. What's that manager's reputation? Bad manager. You have a good team and an underperforming manager. What's the manager's reputation? Underperformance. Bad manager. A lot of what's happening outside of us dictates what our reputation is, what our brand is. So in order for a manager to have a good reputation and brand, again, they have to be very aware of how they're influencing others. Your reputation isn't something that you control. You don't decide on your reputation. It's those around you that decide on your reputation, on your brand. If you're a good manager, your team will be talking highly of you. If you deliver on time and the quality is great, your clients will be talking highly of you. If you're delivering to your manager will be talking highly of you. But here's the thing. It's irrelevant if you are doing everything that you possibly can to deliver a great reputation and the receiver of that doesn't think that to be the case. Because your reputation is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And your brand is built over time. It's what you deliver on. It's the outcomes. So as a new manager, you have a lot of influence on what people say and people think about you. You can't control it. I would highly recommend, and this again is to new managers, experienced managers, you know, senior managers, is come out of the bubble. Ask for feedback on what you're doing and regularly. And don't ask someone who loves you or someone who likes you or someone who you get on well with. Equally, don't ask someone who dislikes you or a client that's continuously unhappy with you. Get middle of the road and speak to individuals who will give you the good as well as the critical. You can influence them. And again, here we're going back to that big picture thinking. If your focus is on the team as well as the task and the clients as well as yourself, and you've got that balance of when you've got a deadline in place, the task comes first. When you've got a team who are underperforming, then your focus is on the team. And when you need to enhance your reputation or when you're going for promotion, the focus is on you. They don't have to be in silo. They do work in parallel. They can all work together very comfortably. That's what makes a great manager. That's what will build your reputation. You need to understand what others are saying about you, and you will only get that through feedback. And a good manager, again, regardless of whether new or experienced, is happy to take the constructive feedback as well as the nice feedback or as well as the good feedback. In fact, I would say, and you know, for any new manager, actively find those individuals who will give you that balanced feedback, who will not tell you how new and shiny and great and, you know, things take time, but will actually say to you, your focus has to be, should be, you may want to consider. And here's the things that you do well.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I think a very big danger is the effect of an echo chamber when it comes to any sort of feedback. As we live in a world where we can very much choose what we listen to and what we see and what we talked about, I think it's actually a big danger of surrounding ourselves with exactly what we want to hear. And then, as time goes by, you know, suddenly you're sort of hit in the face with something you never knew even existed when it comes to these things.
Oh, completely, completely. I used the word balanced. I have used the word balanced a lot in this, and that's where what you're looking for. You don't want just the good. Equally, you don't want just the negatives, because that will just erode your confidence. You want a balanced approach. And you don't want it just from one position. You don't want it just from management. You want it from management. You want it from team. And if appropriate, from clients.
Yeah. And now my next question is actually tied up a lot to our audience, because they may not know, but I do, that as a matter of fact, we have a rather large audience of the 25 to 35 audience. And there's a lot of new managers in that age category within the millennial age group, especially. And can you perhaps give us 3 tips on how they can prepare for their next managerial role in their career, or perhaps even their first role when it comes to being a manager?
Absolutely. 25 to 35-year-olds are, as you probably know, very technical savvy. They're very much about instant gratification. Everything has to be here, everything's now. They've been brought up in an age where if they have a question, they can pop on and Google it. They research, they can Google, they can go on the internet, they can go on Twitter, they can go on LinkedIn, whatever that might, all those lovely areas might look like. As a direct result of that instant response, patience seems to have dwindled somewhat. And when you're managing people, and I suspect that the people that you are managing or you're about to managing won't be in the same age bracket as you. Well, not all of them, at least. There'll be individuals who are younger and there'll be individuals who are maturer. So I would say you need to step outside of yourself. And you need to have that flexibility to look at who's standing in front of you. Wanting that instant activist response doesn't always work for the individual in front. If that individual's a reflector, they want to be able to and have the time to think things through. They want to be able to collate information. They want to have a framework of response before they come back to you. And if you're used to that question, answer, response, there's going to be a real clash of personalities here. And that's going to demotivate your team. Equally, when you have a theorist sitting in front of you who wants to go and find out the background and find out what methods and theories and frameworks were already in place and, you know, who the founder of those were, all those great things, that takes time. So new managers within the 25 to 35 age group, stop and breathe. Recognize that not all answers need to be answered in the next 30 seconds. If you want something of quality, and believe me, you will want quality, then you want to take your time. You want to instill within your team a sense of thoroughness, and that doesn't happen when all you're doing is Googling it or all you're doing is going on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, just a quick add-in from me, put down your phone. You'd be surprised how much you can find out if you're not on the internet. But my last question for you, Margot, is the one I ask everyone on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm reading several books. I normally have about 4 or 5 books on the go at any one given time. And I tend to work like this. I don't tend to focus on one thing. Again, self-awareness. I don't tend to focus on one area. I tend to be focusing on 5 or 6 tasks at any one time, and then it all comes together in the last sort of 10%. Reading some great books at the moment. One of the books that I'm more than halfway through is a book called Impossible to Ignore. It's a book about how do we stand out in a busy world. And the author, whose name will come to me in a second, she talks a lot about how we present. So that's not necessarily in a presentation style PowerPoint format, but the communication that we use, the order that we use, the wording that we use, what makes us different. And she goes into the scientific side of it as well and talks a lot about how the brain works and how when we receive communication, we digest that and filter it and what comes out and what we remember. So it is a really good book, impossible to ignore. And the author's name is Carmen Simon.
Great. And for our listeners, we'll put a link in the description below. So if you want to check out the book, we'll have you... We'll have the appropriate links. It does sound very fascinating.
It is. It is absolutely amazing book. The next book that I'm reading is The Mosaic Principle by Nick Lovegrove. Now, this is an interesting book because often as we go through our career and even at school, we're told that we should be something, someone, an engineer, a technician, a trainer, work in HR, work in finance, accountant, solicitor, and we should niche in a particular role. And Nick Lovegrove is saying, don't be a jack of all trades, but equally don't be a master of one. And it's a really interesting take, because certainly for me, I niche in leadership and management. That's, you know, that's my area. And he's saying, know more about other things. Have a better presentation. Have a better understanding how the rest of the world works. And it's just a really interesting take on that one. And it's a book that I'm not far into, but it's a book that has already got me thinking about how I work. Because I'm someone who's quite faddy. I like novelties. I do things for a month, for 2 months and 3 months, and then I think, okay, I'm over it. And he promotes the doing, but what he does say is you need to get that skill set to a place where you can function with it, where you can work with it. And I haven't in the past. I've done something until, if I'm honest with you, I get a little bored with it.
Right.
So now I'm extending myself and I am at times having to force myself to stick with something. But again, what I am still continuing to do is do the new things, do the novelties. I'm just staying at it that bit longer. My book that I'm absolutely loving, and I'm sure that people have spoken about it on your programme, is The Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. You heard of it?
Yeah.
Sapiens?
Yeah.
It's just beautifully written. It's one, his writing is so easy to read. It's almost as if you're in a conversation with him. I've never seen such an, or I've never read such an easy book. The content isn't quite as easy. His writing style is fantastic. The content is amazing. It's one of the best books that I have read, one of the best books that I'm reading. But I'm just in awe of his writing ability.
Great. Highly recommended by Margot. And of course, we will be including links in the description for those books as well, if you want to go and check them out. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me in. It's been a real pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. And of course, for our listeners, if you liked what we talked about today and if you'd like to know more, there will be links in the description where you can find out more about the Step Up Mindset for New Managers and, of course, Margot's work. I feel that we've talked about some very important things today when it comes to new managers and how they can improve their career. And of course, as always, you can find us on our social media profiles at Lid Radio. And I would like to thank you very much for joining us on another week's episode of Lid Radio. And we look forward to seeing you next week.